It's great to be able to speak to you this morning. Can I add my welcome to Claire's welcome in terms of those of you who are guests amongst us? We, as she says, we love to welcome guests, and we hope that you feel really welcome in being with us this morning. And if you want to come and join us for a picnic later, then why not do that too? As Claire says, this is part three in our summer series. We've been looking at the book of James, but we've really been, it's not so much a Bible study as to saying, actually, how do these words, which were written almost 2,000 years ago, how do they translate to us right here today? And actually, we believe, of course, that the Bible is, the words of the Bible are living and active, so they're not just a historical document, they are actually things which affect and impregnate our lives today with God's truth and his word. So if you've been here the last couple of weeks, you'll have heard part one and part two. 2 weeks ago, Molly was here and she spoke from the first chapter of this letter that James, that we're talking about. Last week, Bob Goody was here. And what we're saying is basically that this guy, James, just to understand a bit of the context, he was a leader in the church. He was speaking. This letter was written to Jewish Christians. There were people who would have heard the teaching of Jesus. They would have understood what the life of following Jesus would have looked like. And so James speaks to these people, and he speaks actually quite boldly. He speaks very direct, and it's very straightforward. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, when Molly was talking about it, and she said that one of the things that James said is he said basically, if you're enduring troubles and difficulties, consider that pure joy. We're like, oh, okay, James, well, that's pretty direct. Normally, I prefer, if I'm facing troubles and difficulties, to get a little bit upset and cry a few tears and feel sorry for myself. Anybody else? But James is saying, don't do that. Consider it pure joy, because I'm going to build some amazing, great stuff into you, and you will benefit from it, and you will learn, and you will grow, and you'll mature. So, okay, James, that's great. And last week, if you were here, chapter 2 was no less direct. James is basically saying to the same Christians, he's saying, basically, you can sing your songs, you can say praise the Lord, you can say worship him, but then if you don't live it out with your actions, it's as good as useless. All right, James, this is a bit hard hitting. And this week, part three, you're going to see straight away, I'm just giving you some pre-warning. If you're of a nervous disposition, this morning is going to be hard hitting as well. And I don't think there's anything wrong with straight talking. In fact, I work for a company. I do. Part of my time is spent leading the church, which is a privilege and honor. I also spend some time, those of you who don't know, I work for a flooring company. So if you just look at the floor at the moment, I made that. I didn't really. But I work for the company who make Flotex and lots of flooring. And my boss these days, I've got a new boss. If he's listening on the podcast, hi. I won't go into too many details, GDPR. But he is Dutch, and anyone who's ever worked with anyone who comes from Holland will know that Dutch people, this is generalization, I know, but it's pretty true, they're pretty direct people. They're pretty straight, and so I'm just getting to learn that because my boss is new. I've worked for the company for a long time, but I've got a new boss. I had a conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, and I said, because I'm just feeling him out, just working out how this operates, and I said to him, I said, just to be 100% clear, this thing that I'm going to do, you're okay for me to do it. And he was on it was a Skype call, and he said, Matthew, I've told you what to do. We don't need to talk about it anymore. And I went, okay, I understand that. And James wasn't Dutch, but he could have been a little bit, it sounds like a little bit of that kind of thing. He was straight talking, and he's very direct. And the reason he does that, of course, is because he's a leader, but he's also kind of like a father figure. And how many people know that actually, if you've got a strong relationship with someone, it actually opens the possibility for you to speak more direct and more frank with conversation. So with the people that you are closer to, I guess you can put your hand up if you think it's true, it's easier to have some direct and frank conversations. Those people who are close to you can say things. Of course, it's important to be kind and generous, and pleasantries are good, but you can just say things sometimes the way we are. the way they are. So Claire and I, in our relationship, sometimes we can speak very openly and frank and direct. I've got no examples for you on that at all this morning, but that's because we have a place, we're secure in our relationship, we know who we are, we love one another, we're for one another, we want the best for one another, and then so you can actually say things that are, do you understand what I'm saying? Makes sense. Okay. So we're going to look at James part 3. And this morning, what you'll see as we talk about this is it's basically about two things. James is going to talk to us. He's going to talk to the Jewish people back then. He's going to talk to us as well this morning about two things, words and wisdom. And what you'll find here, if you're new to Ashwood, is we are desperate to make sure that what we talk about in our Sunday meetings and all the stuff we do is relevant to us today. So, and I think this morning, as I'm going to talk to you about words and wisdom, I think this is a relevant topic. How many people in the room use words? Yeah. Just checking. I think that's most of us. And how many people would like a little bit more wisdom sometimes? Okay, so I think we can agree that part 3 is relevant to all of us. And if there was someone who didn't need any more wisdom, then either come and talk to me later because I need to get to know you, or liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, so... And what we'll see is these two themes of words and wisdom are things that James has already talked about, but he's picking up again this morning in our passage. So James 3, if you've got a Bible, you want to open it. Otherwise, the words will come up on the screen. We're going to read the first few verses like this. So here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's nothing to do with strictly judges. That's something different. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Then he says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want to by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. I told you he's not holding back here in what he's saying, is he? And then he says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Pretty direct. Have you ever heard a parent or a teacher use these words? If you haven't got anything good to say, don't say anything. Anybody ever heard that? And how many people, I'm not sure if this is current, but I'm sure this was said when I was younger, not necessarily to me, I was just observing it in the room. But saying something like this, young man, I think you had better hold your tongue. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody sometimes feel that they need to hold their tongue? I've tried it. It's awkward to speak, and I think that's the point of it. And James isn't speaking to children, but it's kind of like what he's saying is, guys, listen to this. You know, if you sometimes it's better to say nothing than to say some of the things that you might be tempted to come out of your mouth. Sometimes it may actually be better to hold your tongue than actually use the words that are in there. And last week, we talked about the fact that we said actions are more important than your words. That was Bob's message last week in James chapter 2. But actually, James is saying this week, your words, they are still very important. And how many people know that actually when we speak, a lot of our actions come out of the things that we say? So when we're speaking, we're actually making some declarations. That's a lot of our behavior, if you think about it, comes through the mouthpiece, through our tongue, through the things that we say. So what is James wanting us to know? Well, a couple of things. The first thing I think is really important to notice is that James says we all make mistakes. Let's say that together. We all make mistakes. And of course, that is really important. I think there's two reasons why that is important. Sometimes I think we can opt ourselves out. You know, on some days when you're feeling a bit bullish and you're feeling a bit maybe like, hey, I don't make mistakes, that's not me. James is saying, no, that's not true. We all make mistakes. The second thing that I think it's important, I think this for most of us, this is more likely the reason the way that we respond is actually there's times when we're going, oh, woe is me. I'm the only one who makes mistakes. I'm the only one who gets things wrong. It's all about me. Woe is me. Anybody else like that? I know a few people, so I'm just telling you. And actually, James is saying, well, both of those, don't fall shy of either one of those. The truth is, we all make mistakes. It's a level playing field. In the ways of speaking, we all make mistakes. But then what he says is, and I think this is really, really important. He says, if you noticed it, he says, but if we could control our tongue, then we'd be perfect. I mean, that's quite a bold statement, isn't it? And basically, he's saying if we could control our tongue, then we basically would be able to self-discipline ourselves, because I think he's basically saying that if we are able to self-discipline, then what comes out of our mouth, the filter of our lives, if you like, is going to be good. It's going to be good stuff that comes out, because what's inside is also good. And he's saying, but no one could do that. We can't do it. Come on to that in a moment. And then he gives two illustrations. And he's really setting the scene here before he comes in with one of his straight-talking, hard-hitting things. He gives two illustrations, doesn't he? He says, well, okay, the tongue is very powerful. What can it do? And there's two experts. Well, there's lots of experts in the room. There's two particular experts in the room. Alison is an expert equestrian horse-riding person. And so when James talks about the bit and this analogy of a horse and the bit, Alison, like the rest of us, are going, oh yeah, that sounds about right. Alison is nodding because she knows that with a horse, if you want to tell it where to go, it's got this bit in its mouth, isn't it? Look, there it is. There's a picture of a bit. And if you want it to stop, basically, if you want to control the horse, you use this bit. It's an odd name for it, but we can't do anything about that. It's called a bit. And James is using this analogy. So horse, pretty powerful. If you want to tell it where to go, to stop, then we use a bit. Then secondly, with another expert in the room, he talks about boats and ships. Well, Mr. John Butler at the back, he's a fair sailor. He sails boats sometimes in the Olympics. I can't remember. Maybe that's exaggerating. But anyway, but he sails boats. He knows about ships. So he could tell us that that James's example about the rudder, it's like basically James says, well, it's a tiny part of the boat, but if you haven't got a rudder doing the right things, it's not going to put your boat in the right direction. That's right, John, isn't it? Just validating what James, the Bible, is saying, which is good. So James is basically saying, so the tongue is really powerful. It's a small thing, but it's incredibly powerful in terms of setting direction, and it's significant in terms of the part it plays in the body. So, I mean, and at this point, James is really talking about how it's a positive thing. He's saying, you know, horses are good, ships are good, you know, so the tongue has power. But then, of course, he comes with the hard-hitting stuff, and basically he says, of course, also, though, tongue is like a spark, and it can cause a forest fire. So the positive examples have twisted, and now he's saying, okay, guys, but this is why I'm talking to you about this, basically, because there's a spark that can cause a forest fire. There's also the tongue can cause incredible destruction and damage. Maybe in this talk I'm going back to school, but I was thinking about this other phrase as well. How many people heard this phrase? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. Anybody hear that in the playground? A few people going back to school. Young people probably don't say that anymore now. It's probably not down with the kids. But That's what we used to say in the playground a few million years ago when I was there. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names and words or words will never hurt me. Said a lot. Absolute garbage, isn't it? Absolute nonsense. Because how many people know that the words that we've heard many years ago still can have a lasting impact on our lives even today? So things that someone said, particularly when we are children, particularly when we're young, if someone says something, either positive or negative, but if you were here back in February, we talked about the way our brains are wired, they naturally default to the negative stuff. So if someone speaks something negative over us, words, they land in our thoughts and we can't remember much stuff, but sometimes we can remember them. And James is basically, I think he's agreeing with what we're all saying, that words can be incredibly powerful. And James makes this point then. He says, well, who can tame this then? If this is the deal, who can tame it? And the answer, straight away, he says, well, no one. People can tame animals, birds, fish. How do you tame a fish? Anyway, James is saying we can tame all this stuff, but no one can tame the tongue. It's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? And then if he's just preparing the way for what he's going to say, this is the whammy. This is the point. This is the point he really wants to make. He says, "Look, guys, your mouth, you can use it to praise the Lord one minute, and then the next minute, it's the same tongue is being used to criticize, to pull down, to judge, and to speak bad stuff." Like, okay, James, if you tell us what you really think. It's pretty tough stuff. And of course, the reason he's saying that, don't forget, he's doing this from a position of, because he loves these people and he wants the very best for them. So that's why he comes with this direct stuff. He's not condemning them. He's not saying, you guys are rubbish. He's basically saying, look, this is the facts. This is the way it works. Let's do something about it. Everyone okay? And he doesn't really address the sort of source of the problem. In his letter, he basically stops there. He says, look, this is the way it works. We use our tongue to praise the Lord, and then at the next breath, we can be using it to do things that are incredibly damaging. He doesn't really address what the issue is. But these people that he's speaking to, and of course us as well, they would know the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus talked a lot about the fact that actually what comes out of your mouth is really the fruit of what's inside you. He talked a lot about what's on the inside being more important than the outer appearance. So what he's effectively saying, they would have known this, that Jesus is effectively saying, you know, let's change what's on the inside and that will change what comes through on the outside. Basically, and you'll see this correlation, and if you know people, I'm sure we've known people, if you're bitter on the inside, what comes out your mouth is bitter. And the key, of course, James is helping us, giving some guidance on what we direct our tongue to do, but the key, the bottom line key is address the issue of bitterness on the inside, and it will have an impact on the bitterness coming out of our mouths. Anyone feeling a little bit challenged today? Don't forget, we all make mistakes. And of course, we know today that the great news for us is that the words that have incredible power, and if there's words that have been spoken over us negatively, what God wants to do today is he wants to take those things, he wants to restore us, he wants there to be an undoing, there wants to be freedom in our minds so that those things which are effectively curses that have a hold on us, we're set free from. And actually we hear the words of God spoken over our lives rather than the words of people who may not have even deliberately wanted to damage us, but they have done over time. Of course, God can set us free from those things, and that's incredibly good news. Yes, it is. Nicky Gumbel, some of you will know him, heads up the Alpha course. He says this. He says, the words of the tongue should have three gatekeepers. And I like this. Three checks before anything comes out of our mouths. Three things. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And I think if you wanted to have some checks on your mouth, then apply those three gatekeepers is not a bad little set of rules. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? They're the rules that we operate 100% of the time in our household. And there, my tongue is slightly in my cheek. Did you notice that? So, words, the second part, wisdom. And I'm just going to read the second part of this passage. And I'm actually going to, Bob said last week, I'm going to use the paraphrase, the Message paraphrase of Eugene Peterson, because I think it doesn't always do it perfectly, but does a great job of helping us to understand here something as we draw to a conclusion. So the second part of this passage says this, and I think you'll love these words. Do you want to be counted wise? And he's speaking to nearly 2,000 years ago, but he's speaking to us this morning as well, so you can answer the question. Do you want to be counted wise? Anybody? Good. To build a reputation for wisdom? Anybody? Okay, well, here's what to do, says James. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. Okay, there's three more. You've got six now to go away with. But live wise, live well, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. You see this theme from last week. It's still coming back again here this morning. Then he says, mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise, that's not wisdom either. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise, that isn't wisdom either. In fact, it's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning. It's devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Okay, James, we love you. And then he says this, and this is the key, I think. This is where we'll land this morning. He says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. What does it look like? Well, it's gentle, it's reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. Then he says you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. I guess you're like me. You've met some people who they just seem to ooze kindness, generosity, speak positive words. They speak encouraging words. Anybody know anyone like that? It just seems that somehow the words that they say, they just ooze exactly what James is talking about here. They're people who are characterized getting on with others, gentle, reasonable, overflowing with blessings and mercy. How many of you today would like to be like that? I'd love it if people said, ah, you know that, Matt Bell. Well, he's characterized by gentleness, reasonableness, and he overflows with mercy and blessings. That's what I'm aiming for. That's my goal. That's where I'm heading. We all make mistakes, but that's the track, that's the path that I want to be on. We talked about this year being a year as a church of transformation. Well, what could be more transformational than a church that speaks well, that speaks positively, is quick to put right mistakes? What could be more transformational than that? Hey? How refreshing is it when someone makes a mistake? Is it okay just to say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake? How refreshing is that? And can I just say, if someone, because James is talking to the churches. It's not like he's talking to people who don't know this stuff. So it's very similar to many of us who found ourselves in church. Some of us have been church since the day after we were born. Some of us are newer to that, but James is speaking to people who know this stuff, who are mature in it. So how about if someone starts speaking something to us that is unhelpful, that is unkind, how about we say, actually, that's not the way we do things. That's not us. That's not who we are. You know, I'd love it if Ashwood Church, if people say that about us, yeah, that's not the way we do things. You know, someone starts to say something unkind about someone else. Hey, can I just stop you for a moment? That's not the way we want to do things. You know, someone starts to say something that is unhelpful or is unhealthy, then just take on the spirit of James for a moment. Be gentle, be reasonable, but be straight as well. Say, actually, as church, that's not the way we want to operate. That's not who we want to be. We want to be part of a healthy, robust community that lives right with God. Anybody else? You want to know the mission statement for Ashwood Church today? That's what we want to be. A healthy, robust community that lives right with God. If that's you, join us. Let's go on a journey. Let's see what it looks like to be a robust, healthy community that lives right with God. And, okay, but what's going to happen? Well, it's going to take some hard work. James is, you know, we're getting to know him a bit now. He's straight. It's going to take some hard work getting along with each other. But if we can treat each other with dignity and honor, what a difference it could make. And can we do this? I think we can. Let's allow God to change us. And as I was closing this message and preparing, let's allow God to change us to live from a place of betterness than a place of bitterness. So that our tongues do less damage and more good. Let's be known as the people who are working hard to get along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor, like James says. How about that? Why don't we stand together? And in these moments as we close, I'm just going to be quiet for a moment. And I'd love you just to just pause, reflect. If this morning you're saying, okay, God, I've heard what James was saying, but I've heard what you're saying is applicable to me right here, then I would love you just to, in the quietness, just to say, God, that's me. And of course, these things, please hear my heart, these things are not condemning. This is the words of James, the words of a heavenly Father who's saying, actually, if you want to live well, if you want to live healthy, then this is the best way to live. And sometimes that requires some adjustment, it requires some correction. So let's not be frightened of that, but let's respond to what God is saying to us this morning. Then we'll pray and we'll release one another some time together. Well, God, we want to respond to you this morning like we do every Sunday and, in fact, every day of our lives. We want to hear the things that you're speaking to us and we want to be quick to respond. Lord, we thank you for this letter that James wrote that is as relevant today as it was nearly 2,000 years ago. Thank you that it speaks right to our culture, it speaks right to our society. And God, we've already heard this morning that all of us make mistakes. So maybe our first place this morning is to say, God, we're sorry. We want to repent. We want to turn around. Thank you for your forgiveness. We want to be people who are quick to acknowledge when we're wrong and to make changes and to move forward. God, we thank you that you never condemn us, but we thank you that you love us too much to allow us to live in ways that are unhealthy to our character. Thank you that indeed your purpose is that you're in the business of transforming our character to make us more like you. So this morning, God, my ultimate prayer, I guess, is that you continue to change us on the inside so that there is never find a root of bitterness, but always one that is acknowledging who you are and what you've done for us. And so this morning, God, we come to you. We say, would you continue to transform us and change us on the inside? God, do it individually. But this morning, we also make a declaration. This is who we want to be as church. We want to be a people who live a healthy, robust life, loving and caring for one another and those people around us so that we can make a difference in this world that you created. Amen.